Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Busy hour on tap. Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of this great property, coming up in 30 minutes. We have to get into what Illinois did to everybody involved in sports betting recently. He's probably not going to be happy. Circa is there involved in sports betting, obviously, and available to bet at in that state. And here we head out to the Progressive guest line to talk some Stanley Cup final. We head to Edmonton as Tom Gazzola joins the program now, a host on Edmonton Sports Talk. You can follow him on X at his name, at Tom Gazzola. Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. Dennis Bernstein gave you guys a lot of love last night, so I'm very excited to be on with you.
Oh, DB's the man. Absolutely. We've known him for 20-plus years. So he loves to stay at the Doubletree, I believe, at Edmonton. So going back to the pandemic. Okay, so we've talked to a lot of people so far about this series, and you know they might not necessarily cover the Oilers on a day-to-day basis, and we've asked them specifically about the injury to Zach Hyman, his absence, what that's going to mean to the series. They're like, yeah, he's good, but it's probably not going to be that big of a deal because they're so deep. And I'm like, not so sure about that. What is the local perspective on his injury?
Yeah, local perspective can appreciate that other perspective you just mentioned, that there is depth on this Oilers team. But Zach Hyman's a glue guy. Zach Hyman scored 50-plus goals last season. Zach Hyman scores at the most clutch time. Zach Hyman was on the cusp of breaking an NHL record for hits this postseason. Mm-hmm. So he is like the heartbeat of the team. I know McDavid and Draisaitl get all the attention, but Hyman has been one of the best signings in franchise history in the close to 50 years that it's been a part of the NHL. And you can't deny the fact that that's a big hole that's left behind with Zach Hyman going through that wrist injury, the broken wrist that he has surgery on a day after it happened. So it is significant. It will have an impact on this series. But if you're an Oilers fan, you're looking at it and you're going, I hope the next man up mentality is good enough, because one of the differences between this Oilers team compared to the one that went to the final last year is the fact that they have legitimate veteran NHLers waiting in the wings that have been all-stars in the past, that have scored 30 goals in the past. Look at Jeff Skinner. Look at Victor Arvidsson. Those guys were healthy scratches going into the third round, and now they had to get called upon because of injuries. And Hyman's is a significant hole injury-wise, and those guys will have to step up. But don't get me wrong, guys. That's a big-time injury.
It's been great the last couple rounds, but what were you thinking after they fell behind 2-0 against L.A., and then again after how bad he played and his teammates didn't help him out, how you saw when we had to go back to Skinner?
Yeah, Stu Skinner has been a lightning rod this year. It's tough for a hometown kid. And, you know, he took a step back this regular season. There's no denying that. His numbers weren't great. He wasn't very consistent. And he started the playoffs with a team in front of him that was way out of sorts, a group of players that were injured and missed a lot of time late in the year. And I'll point back to what Evander Kane and a bunch of other players said after game two, that they felt like they were playing regular season mode. So the fan base was worried. Skinner has a target on his back all year long. I wouldn't be surprised if things don't go well in game one tomorrow and people start pointing the finger at Skinner right away. That's how touchy it can be with Stu Skinner. But they needed him to come back strong after the Calvin Pickard injury. Pickard, for a scrappy, hardworking veteran backup, put together a 6-game winning streak, which is incredible and says a lot about what this team has been able to do resiliency-wise. But if you know Stu Skinner, you expect him to bounce back. He kind of did it last year in the second round against Vancouver, had an extended time between games in this postseason and actually bounced back really strong. And when he goes and rattles off 3 shutouts in a 4-game stretch, holds Dallas to a goal or two every single game. And same with the Golden Knights. You guys saw that in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that, yeah, he came back strong. And then on top of that, and I think that's the most important thing to point out, the team was much better defensively in front of him. Not just the defensemen, but the 5-man unit in front of him, guys committing to the back check, guys committing to being in the right spot, defending in layers, sticks in lanes, all the hockey cliches. It seemed like the Oilers woke up, especially midway through that LA Kings series. It continued into that Vegas series, and then obviously with Dallas that we just saw.
Are you concerned about the penalty kill and couldn't decide the series?
Yes, straight up. The penalty kill has not been good this postseason for the Oilers, and that's a far cry from last year where it was by far the best penalty kill in the, yeah, in the postseason last year. It went on a crazy run last year. You just knew they were going to kill everything off. Not the case this year. They get touched up more often than not. There was one night against Dallas where they went 1-for-4. And all the credit in the world to the Dallas Stars power play and what they can do. But Edmonton's PK, guys, has been a sore spot. It hasn't really improved. It's had small spurts where it looked somewhat reliable, but then it would leak one, and then the next game it would let in two. It's just been so inconsistent, and I am 100% concerned about the penalty kill, especially if the Panthers, you know, and the pro scouts and the coaching staff find some things and some intricacies with Edmonton's PK that they can expose. It could be troublesome for the Oilers in the Stanley Cup final.
Well, here would be my advice. Avoid the period period number 3, game 1 catastrophe that you had against Dallas, because that was embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a 5-minute and 26-second span. And Edmonton's done this, and it's not like a new thing to this group. They kind of fall asleep and get lulled into a situation where the other team just absolutely takes over. I'll even point back to the Vegas series 2 years ago when Edmonton was up in every single one of those games in the second round. And then what was it, game 5, they were up in Vegas, and it was Philip Broberg got called for holding behind the Oilers net. Bit of a weak call. And then on that PK, it was Matthias Janmark, who's been just absolutely solid for this team in the playoffs again this year, took a high sticking penalty, and boom, boom. I think, you know, the Golden Knights hit for 2 or 3 right in a row, and it just killed the Oilers in that game. And the rest of the way, they came back and lost here in game 6. And Edmonton still has that tendency where they can fall into these little lapses for 6-7 minutes, and they allow 3 or 4 goals, and it changes the game. So they've done it this postseason. They have to mitigate that against the Florida Panthers. And if they can, you know, it just betters their opportunity of winning the Stanley Cup.
Can you set the scene for us? I imagine it's going to be a madhouse. And thanks for this. I didn't know this. They haven't hosted games 1 and 2 since 1988 of the Cup. But you have right. That. So outside of Calgary, is the whole country rooting for them as well to end the drought that Canada hasn't won it since 93?
Yeah. I'll start with the Canada thing. I'm pretty sure people in Vancouver do not care for the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup. You could almost say the same for Calgary. I think there are people in Calgary that are sympathetic to Edmonton. Maybe it's an Alberta thing, but I don't think they would, in general, particularly care for the Oilers to win the Cup. And then people in Toronto definitely don't want to see the Oilers win the Cup. But you go to Montreal, you go to Ottawa, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan even, and they'd be rooting for the Oilers. And yeah, the Cup drought thing, it was a big talking point for a while. It's kind of died off in our country. But the hype is real around here. There's all kinds of people, not just, you know, media types, but just people coming in to watch games, buy tickets. The prices are ridiculous to get in the building for games 1 and 2 for sure. Games 5 and 7, I could only imagine what the prices will be. People want to go to Florida. The price to, like, there's groups of people planning on renting charters, taking planes down to Florida, going to the games in Sunrise, and they could probably get in for like half the price than they would up here. That's how crazy it is. And kind of gives you a taste of how crazy Oilers fans are. This fan base has been through a ton, and the feeling around here, it's interesting. It's neat to see there's a confidence about this fan base this year compared to last year, where it was a really up and down season that ended in a special way, unfortunately losing in game 7. But the way that Edmonton started 2-9-1 last year, and then went on a 16-game winning streak, and then pushed to the Cup final, it almost felt like it was too good to be true, and it ultimately ended up being this way. This year, it's a little bit different. You know, people expected them to be a contender. They lived up to that, and now they're going up against the Panthers, which I think a lot of people really want to see, and I think a lot of Oilers fans expect the team to win the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, first time since 88 when Gretzky and Messier and the gang were rattling off 5 Stanley Cup wins in 7 years. Edmonton will host the first 2 games of the Stanley Cup final, and people have been just building up the anticipation. Bars are going to be packed. You're going to see the mosh pit in and around the arena. It's going to be insane.
Hey, Tom, about 2 minutes left here. If the Oilers win, can you make a case for anybody other than McDavid to win the Conn Smythe?
Stuart Skinner, I know we talked about him. If he puts together just an absolutely immaculate final where he's only allowing, you know, two goals max, and he's making crazy saves in every one of the Oilers' wins, and it's a shorter series, then maybe you could make a case for him. But that's tough when your backups won six games in the playoffs. Yeah, so it would have to be something special. And then, you know, Draisaitl, maybe outside chance. Bouchard, maybe outside chance. And then a guy like Nugent Hopkins, who had a great third round, maybe you could give him an outside chance as well. But McDavid's just, he's been so timely, you guys, so clutch. After they won in game five against Dallas, you watch him and Draisaitl at the podium, full suit, hat on the table, and they were in business mode. So it's those two that I would pick between that will likely pick up a Conn Smythe in this series if Edmonton does win.
How about a prediction?
Ooh, well, okay. I do think Edmonton wins it. I think they get their redemption, but I do believe it's going to go six or seven because this is going to be, these are the two teams that are built to win the Stanley Cup, and the way they dismissed everybody along the way, I think was a sign of that, especially the way that the Panthers handled Carolina. Carolina was supposed to be a contender all year long, and they just mopped the floor with them. And then the way Edmonton took care of Vegas and then Dallas in five games, I think is a sign that, you know, they're ready for another cup run. So these are the two best teams. I think they're going to be in a slobber knocker of a series, and minimal mistakes will cost them. So I think Edmonton in six.
Tom, that was an awesome spot. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate that.
Thank you guys for having me.
Follow him on X at Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk. A strong reaction to what happened in New York today. Tell you what it is next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So the big news today in the NBA was that the New York Knicks fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Gone. See ya. You asked me yesterday, are they going to overreact? I said, yeah, probably not that way. I would have anticipated like a big trade, not them whacking Tom Thibodeau. I was genuinely surprised, a little bit shocked actually when I heard that news earlier today. So we'll go over other betting odds that we have on the next head coach of the New York Knicks. You can always get in touch with the show at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Pauly Howard. This is from Nick, who tells us that he is a diehard Knicks fan. He watches every single game. With very little information, I don't love this move, but please realize since Leon Rose has been here, almost every move he has made has been playing chess. Leon has a plan, and there is a lot more to come. We were talking about, like, do they have the guy lined up already? You would think the answer to that would be yes. They're not going to, like, kick the tires on Dan Hurley, and it's going to be a four-day waiting game, and Hurley changes his mind six times like last year.
Yeah.
And then they have to look elsewhere.
Yep. And thanks from Jeff for the tweet, pointing out the Jeff Goodman tweet that I've talked to Jay Wright several times. Each time he said he's ecstatic with his life and has no interest in coaching again. It's also very different coaching guys in college and coaching the guys in NBA. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. I can't see that happening. However, here are your updated odds right now. Another offshore book chiming in. Mike Malone's even money. I don't think he was even listed at the one that we read earlier, which I thought was some sort of stand-up routine, high comedy with their odds.
The internet conjecture says he wants nothing to do with the job.
Mike Malone?
Who knows? I would think he would be the guy. Other people who are out there, which I don't think are great fits, but have won titles, Budenholzer, Vogel, to name a few, and then you could go with the hot young assistant angle as well. But
Budenholzer would be a total disaster.
I agree.
I like him.
But this goes back to what we said with Brian Mahoney. Leon Rose hasn't met with the media since 2021.
I think he has to after this one.
I mean, he has made good moves. You're right. But it goes back to you're friends with the guy. So, you know, they're saying one and one gives two, and it's Dolan calling the shots. But time for a new voice. We're all about championships, which also begs the question if beating the Pacers was enough. But I don't know. Between running the starters into the ground, weird substitutions, weird patterns with what he was doing, and who was in, who was out with the minutes. Josh Hart, after the series, the Knicks were twisted in the defensive pretzels with how Indiana was forcing their defense to stay in rotation. Hart, quote, you can stop one action, but then it's the next and the next and the next. New York scrambled to stay connected. in many cases, Towns seem lost trying to stay with the Pacers. Either way, the fixes didn't work out. ESPN.com.
Well,
who knows?
So I love that new word. Not new, but the action that you're going to see. Watch it closely, away from the ball, in this series coming up. There will be 1,000 moving parts every 2 seconds. Because I anticipate that the Thunder are going to play with the Pacers, and it's going to be a very high-flying first game. And I kind of like the total, actually. More odds here, offshore. Jay Wright is plus 150 to be the next head coach. Based on that Goodman tweet, don't bet that. Likes his new life, enjoys being retired, and only doing some TV on CBS during the tournament.
It is interesting, though. It's the Villanova guys. Isn't that something, though? How'd that fit?
Jeff Van Gundy is 6-1.
I don't mind that. He did a great job with the Clippers. I mean,
It's been a long time since he was there.
Yeah.
That'd be like Joe Gibbs going back to the Redskins.
Not bad. Good coach, though. Did a great job with the defense, and all the players loved them.
Taylor Jenkins, 8-1. Dan Hurley, 9-1.
I forgot about Taylor Jenkins.
Is Hurley going to be the number one guy they're going to talk to?
I would call him, but I think they have. You're asking me, though, who's on their short list? I have no idea. They just fired a guy who ended the drought and was fourth most wins in the history of the organization.
Exactly right. And the game plan overall to have an upgrade, to move on from Thibodeau, like, who is the guy? Who is it? I don't think there's an answer for that.
And I'm not the guy, and I don't know about who are these great young assistants that have these unbelievable game plans that are just, everyone sings their praises too. Because before, you could just look to the coaching tree at San Antonio and whoever came out of there and say, well, they're going to kill it. Go ahead.
I know.
Just go there. But which is, that's the other thing. You're going to hire some young assistant if you're going to go that route when what this guy just did. And he finally just.
I know.
You know what? I don't think beating the Pacers was good enough then. The more you think about it. Because it wasn't.
Who knows? I mean, you might be right. Might be onto something there.
Assuming they lost in five or got swept by the Thunder,
right?
They probably would have done the same thing. Because the press conference from the organization today is, we're about winning a championship, and we fell short of that goal. So that's why we're making the change. Thank you for your service.
Honestly, I just don't know if that guy exists to where, like, they break the news tomorrow, they're signing Coach X, and you're like, I have to bet the Knicks to win the title. Not that I would have with Thibodeau anyway, but do you bet the Knicks at 8 or 9-1 if Dan Hurley is going to be the head coach? Do you bet him if it's Michael Malone? Michael Malone's not going to have Nikola Jokic to coach.
Sure, and that's bizarre how that ended.
Yeah, very much so.
They were not playing for that guy. He lost the locker room, so he can wear on you too.
Oh, no doubt, yeah. Similar styles there?
Best run in 25 years, out the door.
Not good enough.
And a lot of people saw it coming. But that's
wild.
You'll probably know in the next couple of days, though, in terms of what's the game plan. Because if you do something like this, you just lost and the season ended Saturday. You would think you're ready to go and introduce the guy in the next 4 or 5 days then.
So where will the leaks come from then? When the first media person to come out, maybe it's Shams, maybe it's somebody else, right? The Knicks are hot and heavy with, and let's say it is Dan Hurley. Well, Leon Rose hasn't talked to anybody then. So where is that coming from?
Yeah,
Hurley's agent? Does he just signed the extension with UConn?
Well, you're not going to get much from, I think, what they're going to do and direction they're headed, but you will get leaks in terms of what went wrong and why the reasons. The stuff will leak out with that.
What if the players all come out and say, this sucks?
Well, that happened. Did you see what Brunson was asked about on Saturday? He goes, is that a legitimate question?
I understand that.
He goes, get the hell out of here. Is that a serious question?
I want the players to come out and kind of double down on that, though, and say, this pisses us off. He's our coach. We love the guy. What are you doing here? And then what?
Art liked him, too.
I know.
Said the same thing, right? Well, maybe a big trade's happening as well. But I would think you'd get the coach first before you're thinking about what you're doing with thinking about big moves too coming.
Yeah, the more I think about that, by the way, there's no way you can gut the team for Giannis. I love Giannis, but if they were to offer a package of like OG, Karl Anthony Towns, other players on the team, and then whatever picks and swaps they can do, what does that do for the team next year? You're going to get rid of like three key players and a couple of starters and then bring in Giannis and have no depth? How does that work out?
Boy, oh boy. I know. This is Saturday night. Brunson, what do you think about Thibodeau's job status? Is that a real question? You just asked me if I believe he's the right guy? Come on. 3 days later, they fired him.
Yeah, I wonder if you like if you polled, you know, diehard fans in that area who are Knicks and Yankees people, and you ask them, can you believe this? One franchise fired Tom Thibodeau, the other one still has Aaron Boone?
I know.
Right? The one side has been begging, you know, the team to fire the manager for years now. I know they got to the World Series last year. I don't think it matters to many of them. And they would say, it's the most fun and the best run we've had in our lifetime for a lot of those fans. And now you're going to whack the head coach? Again, I go back to what we talked about with Brian Mahoney and on our own earlier today. The Knicks, to me, they were irrelevant for like 25 years. Didn't care. Never on my radar. When they were on national TV, maybe like during the Carmelo time and Linsanity. Okay, that was fun for a minute. Other than that,
I know.
Never top of mind. Ever.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair how bad they were. Highest winning percentage as a head coach in NBA history without making a finals appearance.
He's a very good coach.
Yeah.
You cannot argue with the results that he's gotten, you know, at all three stops where he's been.
The 0-10 didn't help him against the top three teams and getting blown out in every game. That didn't help him. But I still think it's ridiculous.
I also, does this happen if game one, if the blown lead late, if that doesn't take place?
Well, then for sure we're going seven, and they probably win. I think they win a game seven at home.
Right.
But you're right about that. He didn't miss the free throws. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. Circa takes huge bets from pro bettors and see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it today. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in $9.99. Everyone loves the betting splits.
All right, Paulie, we have a lot to get into with our next guest. Derek Stevens is going to join the program, his regular Tuesday spot. He is the owner and the CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Circa is also in the state of Illinois. Lawmakers in that state recently passed a new tax that will impact Circa, a lot of other people as well, bettors. What does that mean for them moving forward? We'll ask them coming up here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time here for our weekly visit with the owner and the CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Derek Stevens joins us every single Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 out here on the West Coast. Good to see you again today. How are you?
Good to see you, fellas.
We have a lot to get into with you today.
All right.
Let's begin with this. Saw this story on MLive.com written by Pat Pickens, and it has to do with what took place this week in the state of Illinois, where Circa Sports is at and where you can bet at. One of five states that you're in. His lead to the story reads like this. It's about to get a whole lot more expensive to bet on sports in Illinois. While many residents and sports bettors slept Saturday night, Democrats in the Illinois state legislature passed a tax hike on betting regulators that will ding each operator 25 cents per bet on the first 20 million wagers accepted annually, then 50 cents per bet thereafter as part of their new budget. Can you explain to the audience what this means to you, the operator, and what it means to the bettor?
Yeah, I mean, you're putting basically a fee per wager on a bet. So if you take, for example, somebody makes a $1 bet, a 25 cent tax is a 25% deal. So you could kiss those $1, $2, $5, $10 bets. That's going to be the good old days. Effectively, what it means is you're going to have to raise minimums, particularly for low hold operators. Like I'll say for us as a low hold operator, if we try to hold, let's say 3%, well, you know, by the time we got to pay the federal excise tax, and then we have to pay a fee to be, you know, an authorized gaming operator, like with MLB and others. And then you throw this tax on, you know, there's nothing there. There's no reason to take a bet less than $10. So they're effectively minimizing anybody that wants to make a straight bet on lower denoms. And the only way you can do it is if you have these massive hold same game parlays. You know, these holds with like 40-cent lines. It's terrible. It's not a good, logical, well thought out design what Illinois did. And I got to be careful because it's a privileged license. So I'm gonna have to just probably back down on that. But effectively that article, I've not read that article. I mean, they're correct.
Let me ask you a benign question then as a follow-up. If Circa was not in Illinois as of today and the rules were as stated, would you look to enter that state?
Well, I would look to enter the state today in a different manner. I would look to enter the state with a model that may be a little bit different, like a 12 to 14% hold okay. model. But I don't think a low hold model that Circa would have would make sense under that environment. I mean, effectively, the only ones that can really compete in Illinois are the illegal bookmakers, offshore and illegals.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
So I think
what are they doing?
Yeah.
It's not logical. It's not logical. This is not well thought out.
Okay. Well said. Hits keep on coming. This is also a good article, David Purdom. How Kalshi and prediction markets are disrupting sports betting. Gambling regulators have ordered online financial exchange Kalshi to cease offering markets on sports, but the upstart company with White House connections has refused. It's picking up legal victories while continuing to allow customers to put money on their predictions in every state in the country. They say they're not betting, they're not gambling, and they get a transaction fee similar to a broker. How do you feel about this story and what they're up to?
I'm going
to
come off 0-2 on this. I mean, anybody that says you're not betting on Kalshi is crazy. I mean, you know, you got states where there's been votes where sports gambling is still not legal. It hasn't passed. It's legislatively not legal. But this is an end around. And no, I mean, anybody that says this is not gambling, it's crazy. It's absolutely gambling. And they're superseding, you know, some states that don't want gambling,
yes.
Like Utah. They states that just voted it down, like California,
yes.
Like Hawaii. You know, it's crazy what Kalshi's doing. So to say that this is not sports gambling is ludicrous. It's like going outside right now and say it's not raining. It's raining outside. It's absolutely raining outside. Everybody knows it's raining outside. This is just an end around. Now, I would say the one thing about Kalshi, though, I think as shrewd as they've been, I question the reality and the longevity of this because there's too much money being lost. Like, as an example.
Okay.
Why would Circus Sports continue to be a licensed operator? I pay the state of Illinois $5 million a year. We pay $5 million for a skin. We pay 0.25% handle tax, federal excise tax. We pay a fee to every league for league data. Why would we do that? We'll just become an exchange. I'll cut the splits down to -103, -102 on the other side, not pay anybody. That means all the states get cut out of everything. All the federal excise tax goes away. I mean, I'm going to stand up for our guys at FanDuel over here. You know, Amy House paying $100 million for problem gambling. And why should FanDuel have to pay that? I mean, these other guys aren't paying anything. They're paying nothing. It's an unbelievable end around. And I also think at the end of the day, the leagues aren't getting their share. I mean, the leagues are all kind of waiting back to have somebody else throw a knockout punch here.
Uh-huh.
But the knockout punch, in my opinion, it's coming.
Well, so they're passed in Nevada, which it's almost like impossible to get some things passed via the Nevada Gaming Commission.
What's passed in Nevada?
I read in the story today. It's good here.
No. Kelsey's really not good anywhere.
Well, that's
they're
okay.
0-50, actually. Yeah. They're just an end around, and no one's been able to beat them. But no, it's like truly, it's like the weatherman saying, it's sunny out. No, it's raining. Somebody's going to win.
Well, what's the knockout punch? Who's going to deliver it?
It's above my pay grade, man.
Okay.
But the knockout punch has to be coming. There's way too much money that's being left on the sidelines by allowing an end around to work. I mean, are you going to supersede 60 years of a sports gaming industry and just say to hell with it? It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you're worried about problem gambling with Kalshi, forget about it. You're worried about offshore, forget about it. You're worried about money laundering, forget about it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense what's happening here.
So at some point, the one league's going to have to put their foot down.
Well,
and you think would that be the breaking point?
Well, I think it's going to be a league. It's going to be a state. It's going to be past was all about states' rights. Is it a state? I mean, now this is coming up over the top saying federal. Well, then why on earth would we be paying federal excise tax? It doesn't make any sense.
Sure.
This is just a way to go, a very smart way of becoming an illegal bookmaker and not paying anybody.
Amazing. So, yeah, what you said is exactly right. You could just say, oh, forget about us being regulated now and paying all those fees. You're going to bet against Derek Stevens. It's the Derek Stevens exchange rate. And I'm going to offer $1.04 here and $1.03 on the other side. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
We'd make a lot more money. We would make a lot more money. That's fair to say. That's why this just doesn't make sense. I mean, this is just an unbelievable end around. This is not the long-term way this is going to work out.
Okay. Well done. What'd you think of the college baseball so far?
I love it.
I understand Vandy was a great result for you, losing.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Glad LSU still in there. Boy, what a weekend it was.
Oh, I'll tell man. You couldn't what, believe it.
I love
Did you ever see
baseball?
14-1 on a baseball game? Little Rock won. They were 14-1.
It's unbelievable. I love college baseball so much, and this weekend is just so great. And you know that Squeeze Play channel, if you had a chance to watch some of that, that's a heck of a watch on a Sunday afternoon.
They did a great job with that. Jensen was on some of the coverage.
Yeah.
He's going to be on North Carolina and Arizona as well. What do you think? Does chaos continue here, or do we finally get some of the chalk to, like, prevail?
Well, I think it's interesting. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Duke comes out of that region, and now they're a big favorite in the super regionals. Take a look at, I mean, Arizona. Nobody expected Arizona to come out. They're looking nice. This is what it's all about. This was great. Murray State.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the crazy thing. Duke or Murray State, one of those two is going to the College World Series.
Think about that.
Who'd ever thought about
think
that?
Think about that.
That's awesome.
How was Wrigley Field?
Oh, it was spectacular. I never got on the bleachers before. That was a great time. We loved it. And we were over on the side, Wrigleyville Dogs, a couple hundred people, DJ. It was fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Right field sucks, though. That's the chant. Didn't they tell you?
I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear it?
I didn't hear it.
They didn't chant right field sucks?
I was like so far up in right field. We got there after like in the first inning. So of course every seat's gone at 120, but we were so far in the back of this big platform. It was like a social event. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You brought in a new jacket today, by the way.
Oh yeah.
So we have almost 400 people in Circus Survivor.
Strong
still
start.
One right now in Grandissimo. But
look
what are we
this.
Looking
it
at?
It just
here?
Came in. This is it. There's the G4 jacket. You can see Circus Grandissimo. We got a little, thing here. These jackets are sweet.
Good job.
And so we're going to get one to Ian, and after that, they're open for whoever gets into Grandy's.
Okay. Those are not going to we'll get this question a lot. You cannot buy those at a gift shop.
You
have to
enter
the contest, and that's going to be your jacket.
Those are earned, yeah. Yeah. No, we're off to a rip-roaring start.
I'd say.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, the Survivor's coming in, Circus Survivor's coming in, and the Millions coming in has been great. And then I've run into about four or five people saying, hey, I put my group together. I have had a lot of very positive feedback on future Grandissimo entries.
I talked to a guy yesterday. He did the full house. He's going to shove on the Eagles. If he loses, he's coming back.
There we go.
How you like that?
Have you heard more of that, too?
Heard a little bit about that, yeah. I like it. I like the way this schedule plays out. Yeah, it makes sense.
Sure.
There you go.
Great appearance. Thanks for stopping by.
Right.
We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Derek Stevens, owner, CEO, Circa Las Vegas. We'll recap our bets from last night, tell you what we're adding in pocket plays next here on VSiN.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. The streak ends tonight. Rockies plus 165 last night. Winner. They've lost 22 series in a row. I think they're going to get it done tonight. It is already underway. Early start, apologies. But Sandy has been atrocious this year. Mitch is right. Worst pitcher in baseball. ERA of 10. And it's been ugly going back.
Not in the first inning, however, tonight.
Yeah.
9 pitches, 2 strikeouts. Tremendous.
So I think they touch him up as he's been so bad and doesn't have a win in his last 9 starts. Right back with the Rockies tonight. Plus 155. I was hoping it was Freeland, but he's going to go. He got pushed until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right, and then all the pending, and we get ready for the finals, NBA, NHL, eclectic mix here, a lot of stuff. I want more creativity from the NHL, like they're doing with the NBA.
I noticed we'll that see. As well.
No hat trick, minus 190. No shutout, minus 130. Under 1.5 games go to overtime. That's at Will Hill. Panthers in 6, plus 475. Thunder unbeaten at home in the finals, minus 120. Games under 5.5, minus 130. Hope I'm wrong. I think the Thunder win at 5. But Indiana have a lot to say about it, and it's going to be bombs away from 3, I hope. Good luck, everyone.
All right. Bet this yesterday for the NBA Finals. SGA to average under 33.5 points per game. A lot has to happen to go over. Probably not going to be a very fun bet to make because the guy's so good, but I bet it regardless. A couple of K-props for tonight. Sandy Alcantara, who did strike out 2 in the first. That's not a great start. Under 5.5 plus 115. Had my reasons. Lance McCullers over 5.5 Ks plus 120. Guy's been very good with striking out batters since he came back from his injury, and the Pirates' K rate has been like pretty damn high, very high on the list overall with teams overall across the league. His K rate is 26.3%. So there's a lot to like tonight with McCullers, and I bet that over 5.5 at plus 120 earlier this morning. That's all I have for tonight.
Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year, just $199. Free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The morning email from Bill 80. The trends from Mackinnon. The bullpen numbers from Mackinnon. Betting splits, DraftKings, and Circa. Dog videos, always dynamite. Send them in, we'll put you on. And our NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Limited time offer, get in now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code book to sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe. I wish they would go earlier with some of these games too. But then again, baseball does a lot of weird stuff. But 3 games already underway. Did you see the tweet? Was it Scott Hoffman? The guy you know? 6 teams are blacked out in Hawaii? Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know who sent it, but I did see that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, people, so there's so many people, I don't blame you, that don't know, like in Iowa or here in Las Vegas, about these nuts blackout rules where you can't get like 30% of the league.
What's the reasoning behind Hawaii being blacked out? I saw that tweet, but I never dug into it or anything like that.
Well, you never know, Mitch. You want to go to a game.
Yeah, you want to catch a flight tonight
it's
to Seattle?
Thing. Yeah, right.
Go to the Mariners game?
Right. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
Again,
It got like 700,000 views last check.
And so...
So, they, yeah.
Again, this is a day and age where, and this goes back for a long, long time now, you can watch pretty much anything on TV. The latest example, again, is what Derek brought up, the squeeze play package that you can watch with the College World Series. You can watch college softball all the time this time of year, right? And yet it's one of the 4 major pro sports, obviously, on this continent. And in different pockets of the country, you can't watch a ton of the teams play. Because the thought is you might drive 9 hours to go to a game that night.
Yeah.
And with the family.
Yeah.
I can't, I mean, it's been out here in Las Vegas. I moved out here in 2001. I think it's been that same way the entire time. I had the package after the pandemic in 2021 because they were playing a lot of day games. And we were doing mornings, and it made a lot of sense then. You could, you know, crank out a lot of day baseball, which was awesome. When they got back to the normal schedule and you realize that 6 teams are blacked out here when you get the package, I'm like, well, guys, I'm trying to give you my money here. I'm trying to watch as much as possible and talk about your sport as often as we can. It's a waste of money. Can't go home and watch 6 well, different teams every single
sure,
night during the season.
Sure.
I'm like, why would I do that?
Well, that's the comeback. I'll get the package, but I want 30% off the rate.
That's right.
Because I'm blacked out from so many teams.
Sure. If you're not going to offer me that percentage of teams, then take the money off.
And then the comeback is like, what? Yeah. Hell of an appearance from Stevens. That was strong. Fired up.
Well, and, you know, Mike Palm's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
I sent him a text yesterday. I'm like, what does this mean overall? And he said, he said exactly what Derek did. You can kiss the $5 bets. Adios. It's not going to be happening. I mean, they're driving people to bet offshore.
How do they not see that? Time and time again, stuff like this happens, and they don't see it.
I guess the greed, the money talks.
And what New York did as well.
Wasn't that part of the whole thing, though, about why we were going to get rid of PASPA? Is because they wanted more offshore books to, like, go bye-bye?
Yeah.
And they wanted to be watchdogs for this stuff here in the States? I'm blown away at some of these decisions, man.
Then the Kelsey thing, and the NBA is chiming in about, hey, what if they offer player props? And this stuff is unchecked, and what that'll look like about sporting integrity.
Well, hello, Jonte Porter.
That's right, because guess caught him, because these guys are betting an obscene amount of money on same game parlays, and that's how they were caught. But so they're you have an issue with it, and the VP and Assistant General Counsel of League Governance and Policy wrote in about this as well. You mentioned Nevada, Arizona, Maryland, and New Jersey have sent cease and desist letters to them as well, and they ignore it. They say, we report to the federal government, not the states.
It's a federal government thing. Yeah. States have no say in this.
Yeah.
And they're like...
And then, yeah.
What?
And then they're offering sports contracts on the Super Bowl and the Masters. Over the next 5 months, they did $1 billion in trades on 3.4 million sports props.
Mm-hmm.
2 million users. Available nationwide.
I'm sure some people listening or watching this show right now are on Kelsey all the time. And I bet that a lot of people are like, I've never heard of it before. I have no idea what you guys are even talking about.
The article from Purdom's, a couple of parts are hilarious. Dustin Gawker, he's been on the show before,
yeah.
Gambling consultant, former journalist. There's no doubt that it's gambling. It's gambling. No doubt what Derek Stevens said.
How is it not gambling?
And then they went, they had Kelsey. There's no way this is gambling. No way. This is like Mission Impossible scene, right? We're just a broker. We're not. We're John Lark. No. We're
gambling? What? Right. Okay. Now get out of here with that nonsense. Can't be gambling. Okay. Sure. All righty then.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, it really is. Now I'm with you on the NHL. I did see this pass along to me. How many empty net goals are we going to get in the series combined?
Oh, that's up?
Yeah, you can bet on that. You can find that one.
Oh, God. What's... I'm going to say 4.5.
They put up 3.5.
Okay.
And maybe there's alternate numbers to it as well with various juice.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Now, if it's a long series...
Yep. Which our guest thinks will happen. Our friend in Edmonton. Long series, slower scoring.
And then could you get multiple empty net goals in one game?
Sure you could.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen, they're not afraid to yank the goalie here with 2.5 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go.
We didn't have time to get to this. I wish the segments were longer. But it appears there's a locker room mutiny coming in Dallas after what the board did. And I knew that was coming too. You think what happened in New York was a surprise. This will not be a surprise
in
Dallas.
No, that's going
to
be...
You can't do that to your goalie in Ottinger. You don't pull a guy in a game 6, 7 minutes in and then just say, big sample, 7 games.
Right.
And you got the other, and then the guy hadn't played since April 29th that you brought in. It's a win-or-go-home game. You've been to the conference finals 3 years in a row. You pull the guy 7 minutes in? It's unheard of.
Well,
I love that Ray Ferraro's sitting right next to him. He's got to justify it, and it's like he's shocked and breaking it down, and Ottinger's standing right next
there.
To him.
Yeah. I put it this way, if that would have been up at a legal sports book to bet, will DeBoer be fired after those comments? Absolutely, no. I would have bet that.
Oh, come on. The whole dressing room's like, what the hell's going on here?
Now, if I would have lost, I would have lost. But based on those comments, it was like the writing's on the wall here, man.
All right, stacked up tomorrow. Mike Palm, as you mentioned. Eddie Olczyk live from Edmonton, Game 1 Stanley Cup Final. Jeff Seeley with golf picks. Matt Humans as well. It'll be a fun show tomorrow. Primetime up next, cashing out 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. by the book, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m.